Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Before the nation learned the names of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, there was Ahmaud Arbery. A video of his killing surfaced months after it happened. It showed two white men chasing him down as he went for a jog in Brunswick, Georgia. Arbery was shot and killed, and both men were later charged after anger erupted over the video. After the video went public, NPR put out a call for people to write a poem about Arbery. NPR then pulled lines and portions of poems that were submitted to create one poem in his memory. One of the lines in the poem was taken from 18-year-old Milwaukee native Amira Pearsall's poem. She spoke with WUWM's Latoya Dennis about the larger fight for racial justice. She starts by explaining why she chose to write her poem.
It honestly wasn't even, it wasn't so much as a decision as it just felt like something I had to do. I was lying on the couch at my grandfather's house, and it was like 11 o'clock at night. I was supposed to be sleeping like ages ago, but I just felt like I couldn't go to sleep until I got the words out. And I just remember feeling just so choked up and angry and helpless and so sad, and I just felt like I didn't know what to do with all that grief, and I just felt like I just really couldn't go to sleep until I wrote it. So I wrote it, and then I went to sleep, and then I woke up the next day and I read it and I worked on it some more, and then it felt like I had this weight lifting off of my chest. I am sorry that your life has become a metaphor. I am sorry the only song they know to sing for you is tragedy. Sorry they have made you more than what you were, more than what you were ever meant to be. Sorry I cannot ask what you would have wanted. Sorry my fingers are stained with ink while a sidewalk exists that is stained with your blood. I am sorry that we all know your name now, that we will forget it far too soon. I am sorry that your story was written for you, that we have made you the hero of a battle you never got to choose. I am sorry they still insist justice is blind, when we know she just does not exist for us. I am sorry that we cannot do more, that all I can do is write this poem, that I do not know enough to do more. I am sorry that it does not matter that I am sorry. I am sorry that I have made this about me. I am sorry that this is not enough, will never be enough. I am sorry, I am sorry, I am sorry. It wasn't about me, but it felt like, it definitely felt cathartic, and it definitely felt like the embodiment of just like all of this hopelessness and all of this emotion that I just hadn't been able to express. And I just really felt like I wanted to do something because I saw everyone doing things in solidarity, saying I run with Maud. And then it just felt like, at the same time, it just, all of it felt so superficial. Like this man, countless men and countless women have lost their lives in this way. And it's just like, all we can do is make a hashtag.
Now, we're talking right now about the killing of Ahmaud Arbery, but after his death, both Breonna Taylor and George Floyd were killed by police officers in Louisville, Kentucky and Minneapolis, Minnesota. And since then, we've seen protests across the country, most of them in response to police brutality against Black people. You've both organized a protest and you've been a participant in others. Why?
I think it's important for our voices to be heard, and it's important to show solidarity and to just do that as a part of a community and stand united in like shared beliefs and fighting for what we believe in and working towards a better future.
If there were a soundtrack to what you're feeling right now, what would a couple of the songs on that soundtrack be?
I have a lot of songs that I'm feeling. It depends on the exact hour of the day, but right now, This Is America by Childish Gambino. The revolution will not be televised.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought
it's
to you.
It's like, I was on this pilgrimage with my school, and like one of the biggest messages they had was praying with your feet. And while I'm personally not incredibly religious, the idea of like work and putting in effort and actually like manifesting what you want to see, like that really stuck with me.
You know, you've grown up in Milwaukee, a city often cited as one of the most segregated in the U.S. What's been your experience?
Segregation is just like a part of living in Milwaukee. And I think that's just noticeable, like when you're just driving around, you'll see heavily desegregated communities, you know. This is where the black people live, this is where the white people live. And then I've lived in predominantly black neighborhoods, I've lived in predominantly white neighborhoods, and it's just always just knowing that like you're not somewhere you belong and feeling like an outsider. Like when I've lived in like mostly white neighborhoods, it's just been like it hasn't felt safe. Just because I've known that I am not welcome, or that I have to prove myself, or that like just constantly feeling like you have to be on your best behavior. And then also like, but that's just everyday stuff. There's also like blatant racism that goes on too. There's microaggressions. It just, racism, experiencing racism, I feel like it's just like an intrinsic part of being black in America. Like, I don't even know if I have one large traumatic experience. Honestly, I probably do, but like in this moment, it's just like, yeah, I've experienced racism, and yeah, it's hurt me, and yeah, I've seen it hurt the people I care about. And it's just an awareness all the time of just like the color of my skin and how I carry myself and how other people may perceive me because of that. And just an awareness of things I can and can't do.
How has it shaped you?
Just like living with like this pervasive, like almost fear, just awareness. I've become aware of a lot of things that my white friends don't have to be aware of. Just the language I use, the way I talk in certain situations, where I go, how I dress, what I say, how I say it. And also just, it's exhausting too, to just live with that fear and to just carry that. And then being expected to turn the other cheek as well. It's always interesting to me how marginalized and oppressed groups are exploited, are killed, are treated horribly, and then they're expected to educate the oppressor or turn the other cheek or take the high road, or they'll be labeled as just another stereotype, or they'll just be like reinforcing all of the negative things that people say about that group, and they'll be used as an example to just prove the point. And it's weird feeling constantly like a representative of an entire race, because like I am proud of being black, and that's like an intrinsic part of my identity. Like, I'm black, and that's not something that can be separated from who I am. But at the same time, it's like, yes, I'm black, and yes, I have a voice that matters, and yes, I have a lot to say. And I'm not like a representative of the Black race. Like everything I do shouldn't be used to prove or disprove whether Black people deserve rights.
So at this moment in time, where we are as a society and where you are in your life, your young life, because again, you're only 18 years old, what do you want people to know?
I just want people to know that, like, where we're at, we're here because of choices that people made. And we're here because, like, the system requires, like, to function, it needs people to be at the bottom and needs people to be at the top. And we're here because of choices, mostly just choices. Like, people in power made choices. And then people supported those people in power. We're here because of choices, and we can choose to not be here. We can choose to turn another leaf. We can choose to go a different direction. We can choose to do better. And, like, of course, I mean we as, like, a society and not as, like, Black people need to work harder to prove that they deserve rights. But, like, we as a society, as a community, as, like, a global family, we can do better.
Amira Pearsall is a Milwaukee native who wrote a poem about Ahmaud Arbery for NPR. She spoke with WUWM's Latoya Dennis.